Someone said, are you older and wiser? I said, no, I'm fatter and thinner on top. We're in an unusual time as a church, as God's people, as New Life Church, we're in an unusual time. And in recognition of that time, the fact that it's unusual, last week I started what I call family time. I shared a shared experience of knowing some people who were part of this church that were that the family met once a month, and where they were busy normally, they met to talk about the issues, the things that are cropped up, the questions that are cropped up in that time, sort of just have a chance to talk about them. And because it's a time of change, it's a time where God's asking us to move forward and do new stuff differently. That is bound to cause questions, comments. And so in seeking to address those, seeking to think about those, unpack those a bit, last week I started a list of 31 questions. And these are questions that people have either emailed me or asked me or commented over the previous months. So we started through that process of me trying to give some kind of rationale, some kind of explanation, just unpack a bit what is my response to those questions. And so we're going to continue today that journey of looking at those questions. We talked last time questions about vision, questions about direction, questions about leadership in the church. And we're going to continue this journey of going through those things. If you weren't here last time, get a CD from the guys at the back on the desk. I think it's helpful at this time just to be hearing what Nick and I believe God's saying, where we're up to and where we're going. So we're going to continue that journey today. If things that I'm saying, either today or any time, if you think either are not true or you don't agree with them, please talk. It's good to be able to talk about these things, unpack them a bit, and let's see what the Bible says about all these things. We're going to pray today and ask for God's help. Father, we thank you so much that you're the God of revelation. You're the God who speaks. You're the God who shows us. You're the God who teaches us. And God, we acknowledge today that you are the creator, that you are the God of all wisdom and you know everything, that you're the omnipotent, you're the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, ever-present God. And we are limited and finite, and we are sin-marred and spoiled. God, we in humility come before you as your creatures, as your creation. And God, we're asking for revelation. We're asking for understanding. Would you open the eyes of our heart that we would see, that we would understand? God, that we would see what you're saying. We would see what you're doing, O God. Amen. Praying recently in the verse that's oft quoted, well known from Isaiah, where God says, my ways are not your ways, talking to us as his people. My thoughts are not your thoughts. God says his ways are higher, his thoughts are higher. And the purposes of God and the thoughts of God and the ways of God often, most often, are not natural. In the sense that they're not something which is obvious. Because to what's obvious to you and I as mere creatures with finite little brains, with our ability to work things out, understand things and grasp things, is very, very different from the perception and the reality of how God sees things and how things really are. And so we come in with humility looking at these questions, just trying to see, God, what are you saying with each of these things? So the format of today is what I did last week. We'll put a question up there, and I'll just seek to talk through it a bit. Not seek and say, this is the last word on this question, or this is the right answer. But this is perspective. This is trying to why things are happening as they are, in my opinion. Okay, first question, question number 9. We got to question number 8 last week. Question number 9 is, why are we just concentrating on prayer? Are we out of balance as a church? In this season where we've been focusing our effort and our energy on prayer, the question is, okay, what about everything else? Does this mean that we're out of balance as a church, that we're not balanced? My conviction is that in order to get things in balance, sometimes it's necessary to highlight something and make it the main thing for a season until we get hold of it. So sometimes in order to get in balance, actually you've got to put some things down, focus on one thing, really get hold of it, really get into it, really understand it, really embrace it, really get it working, so that then everything can be in balance. Most Christians would agree prayer is an important part of a Christian's life. In fact, if we look at the Gospels, we see Jesus often, this is what's recorded in the Gospels, that he often went to lonely places to pray. Jesus got up early to pray, he prayed through the night, and Jesus spent at least one season in his life only praying, just praying, doing nothing else. Was not just Jesus, it's a huge emphasis in the Bible on a lifestyle of prayer. And I want to talk another time, not today, but I want to talk another time about my conviction that the time we now spend as Western Christians with entertainment, however you entertain yourselves, that the first Christians spent a big chunk of their free time in prayer. What today we fill our time with entertainment, those first Christians filled their time with prayer. And so there's going to be a talk coming to a school hall near you soon entitled Entertainment or Prayer. John the Baptist's followers didn't know how to pray, so he taught them. The followers of Jesus didn't know how to pray. They asked him, "Would you teach us to pray?" I believe we're in the same shoes as those 12, the first 12 that were with Jesus. How do we pray? We've got a lot to learn. We all know something of prayer. I'm not suggesting we know nothing. Are we out of balance as a church at the moment? Yes. Absolutely yes, and deliberately so. It's for a season until we learn to pray as a church in such a way that moves the hand of God here in North London. People in all churches would agree that an emphasis on prayer in church life is a good thing. But most churches would place it alongside all the other things that happen in church life as an extra, as an option. What makes our vision specific at this time is we think it's so important, that it's so vital to learn this one, that we're putting all things down for a season. All aspects of corporate church life, so we can get this one. It's for a season, and it's for a reason. I like that bit of assonance. You like that? It's quite good, isn't it? I made that up myself. It's for a reason, and it's for a season. Important parenthesis today, in our personal walk with God, I'm not saying that for each of us individually that we should do nothing except pray. Don't stop reaching out, don't stop praying for the sick, don't stop looking for God to use you. In whatever measure God has given you something to give away, Jesus said to his followers, freely you've received, freely give. Whatever measure you've got, give it. It's when you realize you haven't got enough that you need to go to the Father and ask for what you lack. That's the message of Luke 11, the friend at midnight. Again, we're going to look at that another time, another talk heading your way. But personally, we're giving all that we've got away, but together there's a specific agenda, an agenda for change from heaven. God's agenda for new life in this season is this, I believe. It's receiving a clothing with power from on high to do the work that God has called us to do. And this involves much more praying than we've done in the past, individually and together. And it involves seeking more of God's Holy Spirit to equip us for the mission that God's called us to. Moving on to the second question. To question number 10. I don't feel the same way about prayer as you leaders do. Can I just leave them to pray and let me get on with what God's telling me to do? Now, as an individual, we all got different gifts. It's important to recognize there's a wonderful, you just got to look around this morning, there's a wonderful diversity. You're not the same as the person next to you. Praise God, you say. I'm so glad this morning. We recognize and respect that. That God has called each of us, there's individual things God has called us to do. God's got individual things for me to do, individual things for you to do. But you don't have to be part of a church to go and do that. You can go and do the things God's called you to be involved with, God's called you to reach and touch. But there's something together, there's something about being God's people together that God calls us to do together. There's a commonality as well as our individual callings and walks and giftings, all the variety there is within us. There is something corporate as well. There's something God speaks to a church about for churches to do, that together we come and do things. And there are certain things that are foundational for all Christians. Everyone's called to read the Bible, study the Bible, know the scriptures. We can't just leave it to one or two people and tell us the answers. We're all called to witness to our friends, not just for evangelists. We're all called to touch the lives of others. We're all called to live a Christ-like life following Jesus. And we're all called to pray. There are many different gifts listed in Scripture. There is no gift of prayer. If you look through in Scripture, the gift lists, there isn't a gift of prayer in there listed. Because prayer is not something which is a gift for one or two folks who are dead keen on prayer. Prayer is foundational for all Christians. Now, it is brilliant that some folks have a grace from God to spend hours every day in prayer, who are called to more time in intercession. Fantastic. But prayer isn't limited to those folks. I've got a vision for us to become a praying church. That together, that as individuals and together, we're becoming a church that is a praying church. That we're praying individually each day and that we're praying together as often as possible. That's the direction that we're heading in. We're going to do other things as well as pray as God leads us and speaks to us. But I don't believe we're ever going to replace prayer. We're never going to reach a season where we say, well, we've done enough prayer, guys. Let's stop praying now. Instead, we're going to go and do this. I believe God will say, right, you've done enough praying now. Let's go and do this in addition. There's stuff to go and do. But actually, I feel this foundation of prayer is something that is going to build and then remain as a foundation. It's not something that we're going to go and say, well, we've done that, tick that box. We've done the praying bit. What next? In this last year, I've started in my own faltering way to pray for you as individuals a little bit more than I did before. If someone's asked me to pray, then I've written it down in my diary, said, I'll pray for this person. So after me, said, would you pray for me? I've got this. I'll write down, pray for that person. I can pray, God bless the church. You can pray for groups of people, but God just started to lay on my heart a desire to pray for each of you as individuals. And, I want to support, personally, I want to support you as much as I can on an individual basis. I'm available to do that. But how powerful it is if you pray for me and I pray for you. Obviously, we need practical support. Obviously, we need personal and practical help. But how powerful it is to mobilize the people of God to pray. I really appreciate all the prayers. Nick and I appreciate for ourselves and our families all the prayers that you do as a church. And please, more. We need more. You think, yes, he definitely does. Please, We definitely need prayers. I want to be like Ephesus, Epaphras. Epaphras is this guy Paul highlighted. Paul says there's this guy called Epaphras, and what he's doing is he's struggling. He was a Colossian. He wasn't in Colossae. He was away from Colossae. Business or whatever had taken him away from the city of Colossae. But he had the people on his heart. So Paul said, this guy Epaphras is always struggling in prayer for you. He so had the people on his heart that he would pray and pray and pray to see God's will worked out, to see their lives protected, to see them fruitful and effective. What a wonderful thing. I want to be like that. That's the direction that I want to head. The burden of my heart is that we will become a house of prayer. And Nick and I are trying in our own faltering way to lead us as a church into prayer by doing it and by learning together. Wednesdays and Friday night is simply a prayer school. It's a place for learners to be taught by God how to pray. Which leads us to question number 11, which I find it hard to get to Wednesday and Friday evening meetings. What can I do? Very practical question. First thing I want to say is come to pray together when you can. And I realize it's not possible for everyone to come out of an evening. There's pressure of work, there's pressure of family. Of course, we understand that. And don't feel pressurized by me. I'm not going on about prayer meetings because I want to encourage as many of you to come and pray, because there's something about being together in this season, in learning to pray in a new way, that's special. I believe it's God's agenda for us to learn to pray in new ways, in effective ways. And part of that is learning together. But those who can't make it, if you can't make it to pray, rest assured that those who can are representing us all as a church family. Secondly, I want to say about this issue is, if you can't come on an evening, come on Sunday mornings. In that little room there, the art room, at 9:45, if evenings don't work for you, family, work, whatever happens, doesn't work, then 9:45 on a Sunday morning, praying in that room there. Another opportunity. Evenings are no good. There's a morning opportunity before the meeting to come and to pray. Thirdly, Mrs. Suster has got a motion from the floor, passed through the chair, which is her husband. Vicky's just mentioned Friday nights. Friday night, the prayer meeting is from 8:30 through till 12 midnight. First thing to say is that it's a come and go thing. And so if you wanted to come at 8:30 and leave at 9:30, that is fine. If you wanted to come at 11 o'clock and stay to 12 o'clock, that's fine too. Vicky is offering to transport anyone home, wherever you might live, south of Birmingham, on a Friday night at 12 o'clock. Good point, Vicky, actually. Obviously, public transport's not so good at 12 midnight. So lifts are available, if that's helpful. A practical note. But the third thing I wanted to say is that that Barbara and Joe are looking to help young mums with young children, as they could be young mums with children, but I could say old mums with young children, whatever. Mums, anyway. Because I realise it's a particularly challenging time juggling things. So Barbara and Joe are looking at that at the moment. Come up with some practical suggestions and solutions. Leading on to the third question today, question number 12. News is breaking as we speak. Here we go.
Cynthia and I are starting it, not this coming Wednesday, but the one after, at my house at 10 o'clock in the morning. And we're going to meet to pray from 10 till 12. And then we're going to, anyone that wants to either come or stay on for lunch afterwards is welcome.
Okay, and that's emphasised, that's for young mums. So if they decide, are you young and are you a mum? If my wife can make it, am I? Anyone got anything else to say? let's have a tea break. No, question number 12. Why is it important to pray at a central meeting? Why not just pray at our home? Why not just pray on my knees at home? Why not just pray with my neighbour, someone that's more that's closer by to me? Jesus calls the temple a house of prayer, meaning, first of all, the physical temple in Jerusalem. Then he meant his own body, his physical body, whilst he was alive. And then after his death and resurrection, that we are the temple of God and we are Jesus' house of prayer. And something is being built amongst us as we pray corporately. But again, if you can't come, God knows your desire to pray. Get on your knees and pray at home. You won't miss out because we're in this together. God's building something amongst us. I've found to pray for a long period of time, it is hard on your own. If you're praying for 3 hours on your own, it is hard. It's easier praying for longer periods of time when you're with other people because you've got their encouragement and you've got their, the fact you can say amen to when someone else is praying. It's more helpful. So if we are able to gather as a church, I think something's built. And so that's why I think in this season where we're in now, a central prayer meeting is important. But I want to say also, don't feel like everything is on hold while we pray, because as well as praying, there's plenty of people for you to minister to on an everyday basis, plenty of people in the church who need encouragement and fellowship. And whilst prayer is the main focus, it doesn't exclude us as individuals, loving people, praying for people, and reaching out to people. What Nick and I have done is ask that nothing in the church diary competes with what we believe to be God's agenda of prayer for us. We want to make God's direction for us at this time very clear, so there's no confusion about the path that God's asked us to take. That's why we aren't meeting in cells. And what we're asking, as many as are able, to gather and pray as we can. Which leads us to the next question, question 13, which is this. I don't enjoy waiting on God. I find it hard to wait in silence. Other people all praying at once puts me off. I don't like the style of some people's prayers at the prayer meetings. Silence is hard. After a busy day, if you've had a busy day and then you gather to pray and there's a period of silence for an hour where we're seeking God, that's hard. I have fallen asleep, woken up with the impression on my forehead, be honest. My mind's wandered. I've ended up looking at the clock thinking, oh, that's ticking very slowly. Sometimes the place we meet is too hot. Sometimes it's too cold. Seeking God is a spiritual discipline. Prayer is spiritual work. I want to really, if there's one thing I feel, I'm not going to preach this morning, but if there's one thing I want you to take away, is prayer is spiritual work. If we ever got the impression that prayer was something cozy and easy, prayer is spiritual work. There's an element of prayer which can be very uplifting, very encouraging, especially if you're being prayed for. People are praying, you know, that's fantastic. But there's a big part of prayer which is just spiritual work. So if you went to your employer and said, look, I don't like my job. I just have to work hard all the time and it's tough and people aren't encouraging me and it's not as easy as I thought it was going to be. He'd sort of look at you and say, excuse me, you're at work. Because there's an element of prayer, which is that. A big part of prayer, which is work. Spiritual work. Not talking about striving and trying something, but which we've got to face up to the fact, prayer requires a sacrifice. Prayer requires effort. And prayer is not going to be easy. The devil does not like it when we pray. The devil gets on our case when we get on our knees because he's trying to distract us, trying to discourage us, because the devil knows the power of prayer. The other thing about prayer is we only learn it by doing it. You can read some books, and there are a lot of good books. In fact, at this point, you look over there, there's a bookstore, and Bob has got some great books over on the bookstall, and you can read some fantastic books about prayer. The thing is, you've got to close that book and then get on and pray. And you only learn prayer by doing it. You can get some tips from reading, But actually, you get on praying by doing it. And by praying with other people, you hear how they pray and you think, cool, that sounds really good. Or you think, I don't want to pray like that. That doesn't sound so good. But hopefully it's an encouraging atmosphere and you hear people pray and you think, yeah, I want to pray like that. We pray as we learn from each other. God has called us to learn. In other countries, it's far, far more accepted, understood, culturally in there, the fact that prayer is what you do. In this country, I'm afraid now, in the West, we are having to do a lot of catching up when it comes to praying. Now, it's not easy when people pray like I don't like. See, if people prayed like me, it would be great, because I'd like it. But they don't. And so some people pray, and it irritates me. It's too noisy. It's too long. Let's go on and on. Some people even preach as they pray. That as they start to pray, you realize it's not addressed that way, it's addressed that way. As you get a sermon preached in a prayer. Ephesians 4 verse 2, Paul said this, patiently put up with each other and love each other. Patiently put up with each other and love each other. There is a time for me to go lovingly to a brother and sister and say, fantastic, you want to pray. Could you just keep it down to half an hour, please? But on the whole, God wants us to be really encouraging and supportive and to be together with our praying. Because my praying is faltering. My praying is not perfect. And I need your encouragement when I come to pray. And you need mine too. Do you know that it's worth the prize of unity. It's worth the prize of learning to pray that we would be patient and that we put up with each other. If I go to pray with other people, if I go say, well, I'm going to go and pray with these people, and my goal to going is to be blessed and to be encouraged, I'm going to be disappointed. Because the goal of gathering together to pray in this season isn't that. Now, there is a time and there is a season, and today, after this meeting, if you want encouragement, I would love to pray for you. If you want to pray for God to meet your needs, work in your life, encourage you, there is a time we do need prayer for encouragement and building up. But God's called us in this time, as well as that kind of prayer, to a different kind of prayer. It's praying to go to minister God and to see it as spiritual work. But as I do that, guess what? God encourages me and God starts to work in me and bless me and through me. Moving on to the next question, which is question 14. It says, the Bible doesn't seem to have a lot in it about seeking God. Why are we emphasizing it so much? Or why are you as leaders emphasizing seeking God so much? I've got on my PC, I've got an online concordance. There are lots of free online concordance on the internet that you can use. If you type seek into online concordance, you come back with page after page after page of scriptures that use the phrase seek God or seeking God. It's massive. If you study scripture, seeking God is a huge topic. Can I encourage you to go and do some Bible study? See what the scriptures say about seeking God, seek God, waiting on God. God has revealed himself as a God who can be known. But in the mystery of God, he's also revealed himself as someone he wants us to be those that we need to seek him to find him. That there's a sense that he wants us to spend precious time before him, waiting on him, seeking him. Why? I think anything precious is worth the effort. Knowing God is free, but not cheap. It costs God everything to make a way for us to know him. And God's looking for those who will diligently seek him. God will reward those who diligently seek him, as it says in scripture. And there's something that God wants us to do that costs. And that cost is to do with seeking God and waiting on God. In an age of instant everything, God is behind the times. He's refusing to be up with the trends. There is no instant God. I'm going to do a talk about seeking God. That's already three. You've had three already there. But why don't you get cracking? Get a concordance. Just go on the internet and look for an online concordance. And start digging, seeing what Scripture says about seeking God. Okay, we're moving on now to another set of questions. And these questions are about cell groups. Question 15 says, I miss my cell group. Why are we not meeting in cells? For those of you that are new to the church, just a bit of background here, if you think, what are they talking about? For the last 15 years, we structured the church around small groups, that we called these small groups cell groups. Met on a regular basis, weekly basis, and with a basis of the life and fellowship and relationships in the church. 12 months ago, we stopped the cell meeting, but not the cell relationships, for a season and for a reason. For 15 years, we walked a path, and it was a hard path. And it's easy now just to think back upon the highlights of that path and not the effort and energy and time and what it took us to understand a little bit about small groups. See, Jesus gathered 12 around him and then he journeyed with those 12 through 3.5 years, teaching them, modeling, showing them. And in that time, he built his church. He built what I believe is the new wineskins of the kingdom of God. And so it took Nick and myself, and it took us as a church years to get hold of how do we do that? What does it look like for us here in London? And so we became a cell church, absolutely committed, and we are committed to these new wineskins. It took a lot of effort, a few false starts, a few failures. But what became apparent over those years was how fantastic and what a God thing those small groups are. And my passion is that the cell group is a New Testament pattern for how Jesus used to organize, train, disciple his followers. Jesus didn't just do it as a one-off, but as a pattern for church life. In this season, these last 12 months, and in what we're in now, we've put down the structure for a time, because we saw a measure of the new wine flowing. We saw a measure of the power of the Holy Spirit flowing in our lives through the groups, touching people, changing people. We saw a few people become Christians, and we're very thankful for people that became Christians and for people's lives are touched and changed, our lives that were touched and changed. But we recognize that a new wineskin, Jesus said, a new wineskin needs a new wine. And that wineskin needs to be filled, not with just a trickle, but filled with the new wine of the Holy Spirit. And so our focus for this season is God. Would you please come and give us this new wine of your Holy Spirit? So for a season, we've put down a wineskin in terms of a structure that we can diligently and put all our efforts, that we can cry out to God, that we come before God and say, God, you've taught us something about a new wineskin, but we desperately, desperately need the new wine to fill these wineskins. That's why for a season, while we're not meeting in cell groups, because now our focus is on getting this new wine. Next question, number 16. I don't feel supported like I used to. Who do I turn to if I got a problem? Absolutely recognize the fact that in not meeting every week together in a group, that we lose something. Absolutely. Be totally honest. Is a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice of not meeting every week with people that I know and love. Absolutely. And you know, if Nick and I were saying, you know, we don't want cells, we're never going to do cells, then that would be a wrong thing to do. But what we're saying is that there's something that we so desperately need that if we don't get it, these wineskins are not going to keep working. And these wineskins are not going to work in the way that God intended them to work. And so there's a season, there's a time where we have to put our cry out to God. We have to learn how to pray in such a way that God would move in us, through us, clothe us with his Holy Spirit to be able to do the works he's called us to, that we could see these groups work as God intended them to. We've only seen our cell groups work to a point. What did work was brilliant and great and very exciting. But there's much, much more. And so if you are in a cell group, that although the structure's not there of meeting once a week, that the relationships are strong, the relationships are good, and you go and knock on the door of your cell leader and say, could you help? Can you pray for me? Or other people in your group. Because we're wonderfully privileged as a church to have fantastic, good relationships. And one thing God taught us over those 15 years was the effort in building those relationships is very important. And so I'd really encourage you to put effort and time into those relationships that you already have. If you're not in a cell, phone me. I'll help you personally or point out someone who can. If you're new to the church, in other words, you came over the last 12 months, then it leads to the next question. And our next question is this. What about new people who come to New Life? Who's looking after them? Good question. We started this group called a welcome group. And the purpose of the welcome group is for people who've arrived new to the church over the last 12 months. Good evening. If you're new today, you're welcome to come along. We wanted to do something that wasn't a thing that that took a lot of time, meeting, for example, every week, but was something that was a place where we could ask questions, find out about you as a new person. You could find about the church, what makes a church tick. You could receive some spiritual support, some spiritual input, and as a place saying, what spiritual help do you need in addition? That's the purpose of these welcome groups. And they've been great fun. And the feedback that I've had from people who've come along has been good. But in addition, every Sunday, thanks to Nick's hard work, whoever he is, that we've had these Sunday lunches. And so we've particularly emphasized in this season the importance of, if you're new, please come along and meet people. Because it's hard. You come along on a Sunday and you're sitting next to a different person every time. It's hard to get to know people. And that's not what church is about. Church isn't about going along to church. It's about becoming part of a community. And there's a great way to get to know people over some food. And so every Sunday, next Sunday we're all going to be here together, but every Sunday there's an opportunity to go to one of the people in the church, their home, somewhere not far from here, or at least have transport if it is far from here, and to be able to relax and enjoy hospitality and release some fellowship, and if it's good, to be able to be prayed for. So if you're new and you don't feel loved or looked after, come and have a word with me afterwards and I'll see what I can do. Last question this morning is this one. When will things get back to normal? I'm afraid they won't. I'm sorry. God is leading us on. And we're not going back. That we're heading in a direction that I've never known a time where God has spoken so clearly about the direction for us together corporately as his people. And so with that conviction, I'm saying this is the direction that God has for us. This is the direction God wants to go in this with. Who's coming with me? Nick's with me. So there's me, and thank you, Mark. I see that hand. We're heading in this direction, and if you want to come, you're very welcome. But God has given us an absolute clear clarity of direction to go. And I understand totally that there's all kinds of pressures, family and work upon each of us. And you've got to decide, how can I engage with this vision? How can I engage with the direction the church is going and fit all the other things you have to do? I totally understand that. And I'm not this morning trying to twist your arm or make you feel guilty or say you should be doing this or you should be doing that. But what I want to do is set out, God is calling us. God has said there's something ahead for you to go for. If you want to go for that, then it's going to require work. It's going to require spiritual work. We're not just going to drift into it. We're not just going to put our feet up and one day find things and ourselves in a different place. It is not going to happen. The kingdom of God advances forcefully. That's what it says in the Gospels. As people take hold of that and push it forward. And God's called us to be those who move forward. So we're not going back. We want to take all the good things from our history, all the things that God's done in the past, take those, honor those, and see those things expressed in the direction God's got for us. But meanwhile, we're out of balance. Where we are now, we are out of balance for a reason and for a season. I don't know how long that season is. I know what the reason is. But all I know is God is asking us now to grasp and get hold of what he's saying. And to whatever level you and I can kind of, whether it's you come on a Sunday morning and pray in there, fantastic. Whether it's just the only works out, you've just got to get on your knees on your own at home and pray in an evening, praise God. Whatever level, God is going to bring us as a church family into what he's got. Let's stand together, shall we? Father, Lord, this morning we are very excited, Lord, that you've spoken to us. God, that you've given us a reason, that you've given us a direction, you've given us a purpose, you've given us something, Lord, now, God, to move on into. And God, we're asking for your help. Lord, I acknowledge my own frailty, my own weakness. Thank you, Lord, that you remember we are dust. Thank you, Lord. It says in Scripture that you remember we are just dust. So, God, would you help us? Lord, where we fail to pray, where we want to pray but don't end up praying, where we fall asleep praying, God, would you help us? And, Lord, we're not striving. We're not trying. We're not just putting human effort in. God, we want the grace of God to fill our hearts, fill our lives, and empower us that we will be those people who would walk the path that you have for us. God, would you open the eyes of our heart this morning that as individuals we would see the vision. We would see what you're saying, not just for us personally, but for us corporately. God, would you give each one of us the vision for this church, why you've called us to be part of this group, Lord. God, would you open our eyes and would you impart that grace, that power from heaven, that, Lord, we could respond in the way that each of us can, our different ways, oh God. God, would you please help us, Lord, this morning. Lord, we're before you, counting on your goodness, counting on your effective power working in our lives. God, we humble ourselves today. Oh God, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful God. Thank you, Lord. I wonder if you just, in the quietness of your heart, ask God the question. Say, Holy Spirit, what does this mean for me? If prayer is spiritual work, what does that mean for me? How does that mean in my life? What does it look like for me? I'm just going to ask Mark to just quietly minister to us. And just for a few moments, let's not sing, but let's just be before God and allowing him to speak into our hearts. waiting on him, seeking him.